We are here on the red couch. We've got our favorite Hanlon. Well, no, that's not true. Actually, your wife's way cooler.
True.
But, so are my daughters.
Yeah, your daughters too. So our fourth favorite Hanlon in the house today. What is your title here, Jay?
I don't like titles, really.
Ooh, wow. You know, in his humble opinion.
Literally hates titles.
Literally hates titles. Hold on, let me lick my fingers. All right, we're on the red couch today with Jason Hanlon. He oversees all of Dutchware for us. And so, Jay, thank you for coming in. We know that you, it's really hard to tie you down to anything here.
I've just been knocking on the door to get in here. I've been begging. So thank you for making time for this.
Yeah, you're welcome. The first time I ever met you, we talked about Game of Thrones. And I was like, you know what? This guy, he's way cooler than he looks.
I remember.
He looks pretty cool, though.
Yeah, actually, you do. You have way more swag than I do.
I don't know about that.
You started a company called Guru Inc.?
Yes, sir.
Tell me about that.
So, I hated school my whole life. I got decent grades. I just hated school for some reason. Wanted to get out. In high school, I started making skateboards with some homies.
The actual woodwork?
Like longboards. Like we were cutting them, gluing the plies together. I used to be skinny and was like really into skating. And
weren't we all? Actually, I was never really into skating, but
no,
I was skating.
But you shopped it. Yeah. You shopped it. Hot skates and stuff. So you
zoomies,
cool.
Bro.
Okay,
you could do a pop shove.
I could.
I remember.
Yeah. That was my. That was the depth of
did
my.
Did you
skating.
Used to wear shoes, or did you just skate with?
You remember Simple, the brand Simple.
Simple shoes.
Yeah.
Simple
they had Jack. These called the Simple Barneys, and they stopped making them. And there was my jam. And as soon as they stopped making them, I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to go Burks for life.
Well, that's why you could only do the pop shove it because like you'd shred your toes doing kickflips.
Yeah.
Stuff.
So that's why I stopped skating. I was like, you know what? Burks for life. I love how interested you are in my feet, though. Is this
a whole different thing. So anyways, made skateboards.
Yeah.
And locally in Southern Oregon, there wasn't a ton of people doing screen printing. So we started doing it ourselves.
And how do you go from skateboarding to screen printing exactly there?
Merchandise. We had this little company. It was called Surf the Streets. Okay. And it was when the internet was like just starting to be relevant to people. Yeah. You know, like as far as online shopping was not scary anymore. And the website started blowing up and we were getting orders from all over the country. I was like 16. And I had no idea why. I think it was just like, it was called Surf the Streets.
Yeah.
There, we didn't advertise. We didn't know how to advertise. You know, it was just
did you have a domain name or anything like that?
Surfthestreets.net.
Ooh. Oh, .net. And they still found you.
.com was taken.
Yeah.
We were featured in some skate magazines for some reason. And then I realized that a ton more people were buying our shirts. All walks of life, especially in high school, would buy the shirts, the hoodies, my teachers, jocks, skaters. Everybody would rock it.
Yeah.
But very minimal amount of people would buy a longboard.
And this is based out of Southern Oregon in Medford.
Yeah. Graduated high school as a junior, and I went down to Mexico for a little bit and came back and dropped out of college my first day. Decided it wasn't for me. I wasn't going to go study business. I was just going to pursue it. And when I got back from Mexico, I had had a ton of coaches and like high schools, contractors. Everybody needed shirts, it felt like. So we started just printing. And at the time, there was like no printers in the valley that could do anything unique or creative.
Yeah.
So we started that journey and I partnered with some friends and it just started blowing up. It was crazy. And then I started Anthem Made with my buddy Kellen and it just got wild.
When did it become Guru?
Right away.
That's so, just yeah,
it
what
Guru,
it was.
It was Guru Inc. or Guru Screen Printing. And then we started doing some stuff for Dutch and then next thing you know we're doing like 500 shirts, 1,000 shirts, and shirt of the month at the time was like 2,800 shirts, and it was like so massive. It doesn't get bigger.
So for those of you that don't know, at Dutch Bros, we supply every employee with one free shirt every month. And so back then, 2,800, what is it at today?
It's close to 8,000.
It's bananas. Woo.
And also, the majority of these shirts, too, are exclusive just to Dutch Bros employees, right?
Yeah, correct.
So you're doing this massive amount of shirts now.
We were offering stuff to Dutch that no one else was at the time. We were doing some kind of innovative stuff. At least we thought so. We convinced you guys that
it was innovative.
And we just built the relationship
what
with Trav and Jen. Realized like, wow, we're doing all of Dutch Bros stuff. And so the partnership just made sense.
Right.
So we decided we were just going to hop on board, and we sold the company and merged with Dutch, and they took over all the employees and everything. So, hence Dutchware.
How long ago was this?
That was about 2 years ago.
2 years now that
going you've been on
to. Funny story: Daniel, Jeremiah, and I went away for a weekend trip to film an older passion video. We get back on Monday, and it's like Dutch Bros just acquired this whole company, and we had like you and like we had like all these new employees. We're like, what the? We went away for a weekend, and all of a sudden there's like this big merger, and we were tripping so hard.
Yeah,
we're like, what just happened? We can never leave again.
You know, it was like probably a year conversation that Trav and I had.
Yeah.
Before the time was like right.
Because Dutch was the majority of your business at that point, right?
Yeah, at that point, we'd put a ton of energy into Dutch and importing and patenting your guys' like travel mugs for you and doing all your importing. And then I think we look back, we're like, wow, damn, Dutch is like 93% of our revenue.
Jeez.
That's a really good thing or a really bad thing.
Yeah, for your
business, you know? Mm-hmm. We probably wouldn't have made the transition at all if it weren't for Dutch and the culture and Trav.
Why did you want to do it?
Well, I mean, being self-employed was cool. I loved it. But having a decent amount of employees, managing people wasn't my passion. And I had two little ones. I felt like I was working 16-hour days, barely seeing anybody, you know,
and
just grinding all the time. So it just made sense for the family. And all of our crew was stoked. I talked to the crew first. I was like, hey, there's a good chance we're going to just merge with Dutch. Naturally, everyone's like, what? And then when I kind of explained it, like, it was a better situation for everybody.
How many people does Dutchware employ?
25, give or take.
You've kind of evolved outside of manufacturing now. Now it's not just screen printing for you.
Shirt of the Month's gotten so massive with the quantity that Dutch gives every employee that we're forced to actually import from our own factories.
Yeah.
Because there's no U.S. wholesaler that has 8,000 shirts.
Right.
Just in the same, you know, same fit, same color. It's gotten so bananas that we just...
Yeah,
I said bananas twice. I don't think I've ever said
that. That's Shane Tappan's
fault. It's Shane in here. Shane Tappan, he actually copyrighted that. Is it copyrighted?
Yeah.
Well, he bought it from Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S. First crush, by the way, Gwen.
Oh, dude. Yeah, right?
First crush, is that what you said?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm not home right now. I'm currently walking in a spider web.
So leave a message and I'll call you back.
Wow, this is getting deep into the... Yeah, no doubt.
Now she's married to some country guy.
We grew up in the 90s. That's what's up.
Did you grow up in the 90s?
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't skip it.
I don't know. How old are you?
I'll be 30 this year.
You're turning 30.
Yeah.
Now, okay, looking back at all this stuff, there's been a lot of changes throughout this from going from building longboards to now. I mean, you kind of play a bigger role at headquarters now outside of Dutchware. What has been some of the harder things to kind of overcome?
Overcoming is inevitable. Like with any change, if you just got to do it. The hardest thing is the fast pace that we're moving at.
Yeah.
And the amount of changes we make as a company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It gets wild.
Yeah.
So moving 1,000,000 miles per hour, having 1,000,000 people all involved with process making.
Yeah, it makes it bananas.
But it's fun. It's fun.
We're still all trying to figure that out.
You talked about that. You were patenting some of our mugs, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's not just t-shirts anymore. What are some of the crazy, unique things that you guys out at Dutchware provide?
Well, we do everything out there. It's crazy, like rain boots.
You guys kind of also oversee our online coffee sales too, right?
Yeah, that's under our wing too, which in Shane terms, it's bananas how much stuff we ship out of there. Umbrellas, beach towels, pool floaties in the shape of our cup. And we do all sorts of random manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
I actually just used one of those on a 112 degree day in Reading. It was nice.
Yeah,
the towel or the floaty?
No, the floaty.
Floaties legit.
No need for towels when it's 112.
No, totally.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Or clothes, for that matter.
Well.
Okay.
I wish.
Hey, this ain't a freestyle rap, okay? Keep it clean.
You got it.
So you've been doing this for, you know, realistically for about almost 14 years now.
Mm-hmm.
New clothing coming out, new items coming out. How does Dutchware
stay relevant?
Yes.
Kind of what we've all been passionate about is, like, making, like, the most current items. I'm not going to dork out on like different print styles, just being relevant to trends, I guess. Like I'll see something, we should create something similar to that and like find that material, and having the capacity Dutch Bros has, we're able to do that, you know, working with like our design team, for instance, on a new mug, like the flight, you know, that just started as like a pencil sketch with Tom and Justin and Shane, Jen, and a bunch of people. We all kind of give our two cents on like, this is what we should do. This is the type of lid we want. Literally in the lunchroom, just pencil sketching it and then taking it to China, getting the molds made. That is just rad. And being able to like constantly push the edge on being innovative.
Yeah.
Has been awesome.
You know, working with China for 10 years now.
Yeah.
We've weeded out factories that didn't live up to like our expectations on standard of living. We kind of pride ourselves with the factory that we use. We use one factory for apparel and another factory for all of our drinkware. Mm-hmm. And they have a higher standard. It's above livable wages. So the people that work there are stoked. They're making good money.
Yeah.
And the quality is above average. So,
and it's not for everything. It's just for some of our massive amount.
Yeah, we still, you know, we still do just manufacturing. We still print thousands of shirts a month just for events, franchisee orders, location specific stuff. And that's, you know, we do all that screen printing here. But, you know, shirt of the month and all the custom stuff like that's cut and sewed and made before.
From outsider perspective, you're just as busy. Has it helped though with, you know, managing your own personal time, going from being, you know, self-employed to now coming in? And
it's crazy because it's like more responsibility now, but less stress.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Totally.
We're always a small company, but when you get 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 employees or whatever, it's like, oh shit, payroll.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big number for a small company. Every day you open the mail, it's like, bill, bill, bill. Like, what is this company I'm paying? I don't know.
Right.
Lawyers, like everything, you know? So that has been a blessing. We actually have an HR department. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
This is how it works. Like,
oh, they can shoulder a little of that burden.
Yeah, that's a huge burden, you know? And when you get a bunch of people, weird things happen. So,
no doubt. Sort of backtracking a little bit. When you were 16 and you made the decision that you wanted to fully transition into screen printing, how did you learn? Did you have like a mentor or was it on, like, did you read books?
Yeah. So that's funny because, like, this kind of dates the internet a little bit. I literally went to the library.
Yeah, because like I said, I don't think internet tutorials were around.
Yeah, no. No, they weren't. So
the library?
Well, first of all, shout out to my mom because I ruined like three of her bathrooms. Because if you know anything about screen printing, you have to have a dark room. And so I was constantly just like burning screens in the sun, using this stuff called emulsion, just all over the carpet, all over the floor, all over the bathtub. And
she just let you just go for it?
Well, she worked.
She'd come home and be like, what'd you do to the bathroom?
The dog did it.
Yeah. No, my mom and dad were like super cool with it. I think my mom, like, she's not a risk taker at all. So she was
a little more conservative.
Yeah. I didn't know I was like going to do screen printing necessarily. I just knew I didn't want to go to school. I just had like a ton of people asking for shirts. I actually didn't really plan on it. It was like, okay, I can make a couple $100 this week if I do this guy's shirts. And then, like, that happened 1 week, and then the next week, and it never stopped. Like, quarter over quarter from the time we started, we grew. We're fortunate. We never had, like, the dip. It just kept going and going. And then it was like we were doing tour merch for bands and record labels all over the country. Then the internet blew up, and then it got even crazier, you know?
How do you kind of continue to feed the desire to have a creative outlet?
I still do some stuff on the side, like, that I'm passionate about. Technically own a clothing line with a buddy of mine still. It's been on hiatus for a while, taking a long 2-year nap. But we're thinking about putting some energy behind that, kind of sourcing it to somebody else to manage.
Yeah.
I've been dabbling in the stock market a little bit.
Really?
Just a little bit.
Play some poker too, right?
I play some poker, yeah.
Do you like playing poker?
Actually, he can't show you his poker face.
No.
He can't tell you he likes it.
I don't know.
Dude, keep you guessing.
Last year, I went down to Vegas and played in the World Series of Poker.
Yeah, how was that?
It was a grind.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. So that was cool. It was a cool experience, but I got burned out because Las Vegas, you know, sucks after 2 days.
Yeah, it's a long 2 days.
So I didn't play much poker this year, but I still do play.
Getting back to Dutchware, what is some of the stuff coming down the line?
Just the creative cuts, you know, trying to stay relevant. Scalp cuts, like high-low shirts, like softer material. Right now, like the trend seems to be simpler designs. I mean, not to say we're not going to have crazy graphics. We're going to be bringing out some rad old school stuff too. Some 92 throwback stuff. Like always, we have such an eclectic group of baristas. It's so spread out that we're not just like, this is our look. Mm-hmm. This is what you wear. So we really try to cater, because we get a ton of feedback like, hey, you should do this. You should do this.
Mm-hmm.
And we digest it and we try to like, you know, be relevant to all walks of life. So if you go out there, you're like, oh, that dad shirt sucks. That's so ugly. And then some like dude walks in. He's like, it's the coolest shirt ever. You know, it's fashion and style and everything is so subjective that if you get in the corner of like, this is our look, like in my opinion, you've lost. It's got to be like, we've got 8,000 people who work for us, huge variety of people. So you kind of got to give something to everybody. So they're stoked on it.
You're wearing right now one of those shirts that's pretty cool.
This is a throwback to like the 90s. You can't tell here, but when I walk in the sun, the UV light changes the shirt and it
just pops
out into like six or seven colors. These are going to be a Coach exclusive.
How far ahead do you have to be for shirt of the month?
We're like 6 to 8 months out.
The holidays is coming and we're going to have holiday mugs and stuff like that. I mean, you have to do that kind of ahead of time too.
Those are 8 to 6 months out. We're ahead, you know, because you got to factor in production time, coming on a boat. I have an incredible team. Our staff kills it. But currently, I'm still doing a ton of the communication with China for the huge projects.
Is it like a 12-hour difference?
Yeah, it's like 8 to 12 hours. Sometimes I'll have like a call at like 2 or 3 a.m. We're lazy in America, you know? So they all know English, like, like most countries.
Yeah.
Like, adapt to us. So I can text them.
Oh, cool.
They're incredible.
How do you stay filled?
5 mornings a week, I'm in the gym super early.
Yeah.
For me, that's helped a ton with, like, my overall energy, my spirit. I don't know. It's a short amount of time off, maybe, like, a decade from working out.
Blink of an eye.
Yeah. Like, oh, I was like, dude, I'm just a skinny soccer player. And then all of a sudden, like, whoa, where'd that guy go? I ate him. I don't want to be, like, the chubby guy. So I was like, I'm going to start working out. So they don't remember me being chubby. Which is cool if you're chubby. More power to you. Just for me, personally, I wanted to, like, lose a little bit of it because I didn't feel great. And I had to just commit heavy to having a trainer to just motivate me because otherwise it's, like,
it's important.
Alarm goes off. It's like, who cares?
Yeah. Right.
I did it this morning, dude. I haven't gone running all week. And I was like, I'm going to go run tomorrow morning. Well, and then I got up this morning. My alarm went off. And I'm like, it's Thursday. I usually don't run on Thursday. So I'm going to.
Yeah.
So I didn't.
Exactly.
That's how it goes.
6 months in, down 23 pounds or something.
That's awesome, dude. You have this drive in you. What advice would you give to somebody like that?
I'd say no matter what you want to do, find something you're passionate about. And then be obnoxious about pursuing it. There's a bunch of people I know that are like entrepreneurs or whatever, but I call them wantrepreneurs because all they do is like talk about it. Figure out what you want to do and take the risk. I don't think enough people take risks. I think people are like too scared. Because I always tell people outside of maybe scholarships, you can always go back to college. Like, if you want to take a risk when you're young and you're not married, you don't have kids, like what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Honestly, your business doesn't work. I feel like if you don't take the risk and you don't go for it, you'll never know. And then you'll be old and like sitting in a cubicle and be like, shit, I should have just tried.
Gary Vee talks about it right now. Like this age we're in right now for younger people, it's like the startup generation.
Dude.
So there's so many people in their late 30s, 40s, 50s just looking for that young kid with passion and talent to just give them money.
Like, yeah.
Here. If the business takes off, I'll get a cut. If not, whatever. I'm investing in you.
The day and age we live in, like,
anything is possible.
It is. I mean, you just have to do it.
If you've got an iPhone, you have a platform.
That's true.
Yeah, if you have an Android, you're
shout
dumb.
Shout out to the,
If you got an Android, you got a platform too. So.
Just a less relevant one, but you still. I'm just kidding.
You're going to not reach as many.
I'm kidding.
Dude, you're getting a Dell.
I remember those commercials.
Tell me, what is your favorite coffee drink right now?
Cold brew is kind of my jam, but I go iced Americano, scoop of sugar-free chocolate, 24 ounce, a couple of them a day, though.
Who are some of your major influencers?
I love Tim Ferriss. I think he's unreal. Gary Vee's cool. I dig Gary for sure. Seth Godin, I'm into his perspective.
Well, it's a pleasure having you here on the podcast. Thanks for taking your time.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening. We hope that you guys enjoyed some nuggets from Dutchware himself, Jason Hanlon. Dutchware. We just call him D-Dub.
He changed his D-Dub. Name legally.
All right, guys. Have an awesome day.
Peace out.